The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
What's going on, Skanks? We're so excited to announce that the Legion of Skanks is going out together for the first time ever. Starting this summer, August 10th, 11th, and 12th, we're doing a run of theater shows starting in Hampton Beach, New Hampshire, Boston, Massachusetts, and at the Foxwoods Casino and Resort. Tickets are on sale now at BigJComedy.com or at LewisOfSkanks.com.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
When you hear that bomb blast, get a shot glass. Listen to the podcast, it's all up in your bomb fast. Big J kills them like OJ Simpson. A quick, if the fingerless glove don't fit, get break quick by that big dick Dave Smith. He all up in your ribs while he talking politics. Don't get bit when you rattle by that Puerto Rican snake. A natural born killer, Legion of Skanks.
Welcome to the Clash!
I'm just talking about one, like wanting to bang moms. Like my mom was actually attractive. No, my mom was attractive. She was like an attractive woman. You know what
people
I'm saying?
People paid her up to $30 for pussy. Goddamn right she was attractive.
My mom didn't have, by the time my friends were of the age of wanting to fuck somebody's mom, my mom was already so like beaten down and depressed by life. It didn't matter how hot she was.
Yeah. I don't know if I had friends necessarily that would like outwardly wanted to fuck my mom. That wasn't really the thing. It was just when I was a little kid, my mom was say like a size zero jeans and monster tits. So like when she would, and she was young, so she would dress the part of that.
Jay's entire family is top heavy.
Yeah, we're all top heavy people. We have great legs. But my mom, I remember like my mom, that feeling of my mom coming in to bring like cupcakes for like my birthday to school or something and just being like, oh man, I'm like, everyone's definitely, I mean, why are her titties like that?
Titties were just hanging out.
Not really hanging out. She just wore like tight t-shirts and she just had huge tits and like a tiny waist. So it just looked that way, you know? Yeah. It wasn't that she was like necessarily being like dressing hoary. It was just, she was dressing like a 20 fucking 4-year-old.
Right. I remember one time my mom brought in like cupcakes to like my class for Halloween. Yeah. And she dressed up as a skunk, but it was like a slutty skunk. She had perfume and she's like flirting with all the third grade boys and spraying them with her perfume.
Then she passed out in the cupcakes.
Yeah. Wait a minute, that wasn't perfume. She was spraying them with heroin.
Yeah. She's getting fentanyl in the room. Dave, you had a I remember my friend Ed Gentile. His mom, we were young, they were like pretty wealthy family.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to drive out to their place a little bit in South Jersey because they had like a pool and shit. And his mom was like very, she was like, yes, have all your friends over and I'll make pizza rolls or whatever. And she came down. I remember it was such a crazy bunch of things happening at once. Was my friend Glenn, who you guys have met before, Glenn went swimming and he was changing. They had like a little room in the basement, like before you get into the basement, that was all glass, but it's basically, you know, to dry off from the pool. And he took his pants, his trunks off with a towel on, and Glenn goes up to the window and he starts like humping like at the window and letting his dick like slap the window, and we're all laughing and stuff. And then we're laughing and it's fueling him so well that he starts like, you know, like biting his lip and like turning his head to the side and like slapping his dick, not knowing that his mom comes down with like a pizza or something. And it was so much going on because one, we're all trying to like, he can't hear us. So we're trying to get his attention to tell him to stop doing that while we see his mom walking down the stairs. At the same time, his mom comes down in pajama top and no bottoms bringing down this pizza. And it was just fucking awesome. I think underwear, But it was just like, you're like, oh God, that's great. Glenn, no.
Trying do you to think she knew what she was doing? That like, because I do
I
think
know.
Like
I don't know.
I think
how would an adult not know? How would a grown woman
an adult knows? And I think that they kind of played dumb and she was just like, whatever it is, she's like, I'm gonna turn on these teenage boys today, right now, and be a little bit of a pig.
Very possible.
It was a better time. It was just truly just a better time. My friend Anthony
Lewis got raped by one of his kids' moms, by one of his friends' moms.
No, she just wrapped her legs around me and she fucking breathed on my neck. That wasn't easy.
Well, that's what you remember.
And if she was hot, I would have fucking went
for the greatest memory ever.
I was in seventh grade.
She wrapped her leg around me, started breathing in my ear, and then everything went dark.
She had no
teeth.
That's
when the chloroform rag.
She had no teeth. She was like an old Dominican lady, like just with fucking like, I remember she would talk. We would go home from middle school every day and she would make us lunch. Like, so in Havershaw Middle School, you got to leave the property. And in the village of Havershaw, there was like pizzerias and candy places and arcades. And like, so what I would do is
Toothless lady's lunches is I made you all sugar sandwiches and peanut brittle.
She's like double toil and trouble. Eyes of newt.
I made you the thickest caramel of all time. Saltwater taffy sandwiches, anyone?
She told me to stick my arm through the cage. And I just stuck a chicken bone through to make her think that I was too thin still. Wait, that was Hansel and Gretel. Never mind.
Yeah.
I'm thinking of Hansel and Gretel. That was not my middle school memory. Never. Sometimes that happens to me. I just think of old things.
I was making it more that she has no teeth, so everything she eats is sugar and sticky.
I know. We were doing two different bits. I was doing a witch. You were doing a sugar sticky thing. But I think
they both had legs.
Dave? Yeah. You weren't doing jack shit.
Hey, Dave,
I was.
Can you bit it up a little?
Hey, Dave,
I was watching you guys cross bit. And I was like, I don't know if these two things are going to merge. But
that happens sometimes. It's so funny, like podcasting. You ever do that? Like you'll be cross bidding and you'll be not exactly doing what the other one's doing. And you have to give up. Yeah, at one point, like, all right, I guess we're going to give up my bit because this bit's the one we're going with. But that happens, I would say, probably once a month. We'll like. Uh-oh. Whether it's you or somebody else or whoever, like we'll be trying to do a bit and we're not exactly getting what the other one's saying.
It was pretty funny on Stavros's podcast the other day. I was doing something. There was like a conversation that went on for a few back and forths, but I was lost too. The guy was saying, he goes, we were talking about him reaching out to troll Adam Richmond from Man Versus Food. And he was like, yeah, he goes, I would reach out. He goes, I would DM, I would add him. And, the conversation went to like, you're adding him. It's like, well, why add him if he's going to do a thing? And it's like, well, because you want him to see it. He's like, but you don't have to really add him. And it's like, it's ADD is what me and Stavros were thinking. And he's saying at like.
So, you know, I was third bidding it and I was going, his name is Adam.
Nope.
Adam.
I thought that's where we were going to go.
Yeah, that's where I was going. Was Adam.
But I'm saying that's how easy that one is to fuck up. At an ad on like a social media conversation.
About a guy named Adam.
About a guy named Adam, ATOM.
I think we're going to open up a vortex.
Yeah. So Lou, I'm not going to say the kid's name, but his mom, she was.
You already said part of it.
Yeah. Wow.
Rodriguez.
I'm not going to say the name of
Alpine Martin.
It's my favorite.
917.
Lewis goes, I'm not going to say the name of the rental car place. It's Enter.
It's Enter Hertz.
Yeah, dude. But yeah, but his mom was hot, doggy. I mean, that was like the fantasy as like a little kid, like hooking up with an adult fucking woman. And that just never happened. There was a kid in middle school who fucked this chick's mom. Wow. I remember in like the eighth grade, this kid, like, and they would like hang out. This mom was, I don't even know. Like, I remember thinking it was kind of cool at the time. I remember thinking like, damn, dude, I wish I was fucking that chick Jocelyn's mom. Right. But what was going on was her mom was like an embarrassing, like druggy pig. And like her friends from like middle school and a couple of her like high school friends would like come over and hang out the house and like smoke weed and like chill. And then eventually the mom was just like chilling with them. And then one of them convinced the mom to fuck. But like, that has to be so fucking devastating as like a kid, like your mom fucked one of your friends.
Yeah, a lot of the porn stars me and Ralph have interviewed have fucked a friend's dad in high school or a teacher. I'm blown away by that. Metzger was the only person I met for years who had any story at all of like a kid fucked another kid's mom, but like Chris DiStefano fucked another kid's mom.
Oh,
like
yeah.
It's weirdly more like prevalent than you think. It's like an odd thing of like, again, maybe the girls with the boy teachers and the male teachers in my school, because I can't really gauge that so much. But like, there wasn't a female teacher through my 100% years of schooling that seemed anywhat sexual. It was like old Indian ladies, old black ladies.
It was
old
a couple
shit,
cute younger
ladies.
Chicks, right? So Miss Martinez was the French teacher, or a Puerto Rican French teacher. Look at the school that I went to. she's like, "Bonjour, papi." Dude,
my Spanish teacher was an 80-year-old lady named Mrs. Rabinowitz.
Hell yeah. So Miss Martinez started fucking Mr. Lefevre while like it was a scandal. Like he was the principal, and she was like a hot fucking Spanish lady. Like she used to wear like short skirts. She was pretty hot. And she was a fucking cunt. But yeah, he was like married, started cheating on his wife with her, and like left his wife for her. Like it was like it was a known thing in school. And then they just got married and eventually fucking had their own kids and like did their own thing. But she was pretty smoking. Miss Farsetta in the eighth grade, not only hot, was a huge Grateful Dead fan. Now that I think back, she was a fucking pothead, right? Obviously.
Oh, and fucking, she's doing fucking balloons at her house.
Dude, she used to fucking flirt with this one kid, Robbie, this Spanish kid who got like transferred from the Bronx. He was a Puerto Rican. He was a good looking kid. And he was like really in shape. He was in the eighth grade, but he was supposed to be in like the 10th grade. So he like, Full he beard. Was just like, he was already filled out, as she probably said.
Yeah.
Is there any fucking
No, he's got his adult body.
Yeah.
He's got his big boy body now.
Dude, and she would like literally like blush and flirt with him in front of the class to the point where like it was a joke in the class that Miss Murray.
Yeah,
I had
one like that. It was this young teacher, and she was not attractive, but she was young. Like she might have been like 22 or something like that. And we were like in high school, maybe 9th or 10th grade or something. And there was this kid in class,
which enough in age.
This teacher, it was so obvious, wanted to fuck. Like we all knew. It was one of those things where it was like, it was shocking that an adult couldn't control it better. She would blush every time he talked. She would like flirt with him the whole time. And we were like, yo, you could definitely, like, he was one of my best friends. We were like, you could definitely bang this pig if you want to. But she was not attractive.
And he never did.
He didn't do it. I don't think so.
For the story, there's no way. As an adult, I have fucked ugly women.
Yeah.
Like straight up, like
exclusively,
objectively, there is not like, I'm talking about, there's not a redeeming quality. Jay, you know, some of these gals, fucking just, yes. It was there and they were willing. And it was just like, there's a few of them that are, it would be more acceptable to have sex with a man than to have sex with some of these gals. Right.
Yeah.
So in the 9th grade where I'm a virgin and like pussy's on the mind, and I'm just jerking off the porn all the time. The idea of fucking an ugly teacher, there's no way I wouldn't have done it.
Yeah, I absolutely would have done it if it was possible. Yeah, that's hopefully something we've grown out of.
Fucking ugly teachers.
Fucking ugly women. We really have grown out of having sex with absolute atrocious women.
Or just anyone I'm not attracted to at all.
No, for a while it was just about
I can't whatever believe the somebody feeling. Wants to do
it
this.
It wasn't even about right having away. An orgasm or getting your dick wet. It was about maybe the feeling of the hunt and the kill, and you got to go,
if we didn't mention Lewis was killing these women also.
Yeah.
So I was hunting and killing them.
It wasn't that for me. It was genuinely like, I can't believe yet another person wants to do this with me. Like right away. Also, especially if it's like, we just met. It's crazy.
Yeah. What would turn me on about it was getting to feel like the fucking man, even though it wasn't, it was just like, but it's Freudian. You know what I'm saying? You got to get laid. You got to feel like the man. I got to fucking just like in this exact moment. And then also like when you're fucking an ugly chick, she feel kind of hot.
Dude,
it's the only time that when I fuck my girlfriend now, I feel like I am attacking, I feel like I'm doing something wrong. I'm sorry. Totally. I'm very sorry for this. But when I fuck an ugly chick, like I fucking flex in the mirror. I act like I'm doing her a favor.
There was a comic years ago who, she was a young comic and she reached, I kind of only saw her in pictures and social media stuff. And she was like winging it at me and Christine. And I showed Christine the pictures and she was just like, no. She's like, no, I'm not like attracted to that girl at all. She's like, are you attracted to that girl? And I was like, I mean, don't feel shitty about it. I'm like, but And my point I made to her aggressively.
Would I know who it is?
So, oh, yeah, yeah.
Text, it's, please. We will say anything, obviously.
I'll check. Well, no one will you see chat it in the chat. Nobody will see that on the recording, right?
No.
Bobby?
No, absolutely not.
I'm Bobby's boss.
Doesn't mean you hired
Bobby would have to come to
stuff.
Me and ask me if that's
well,
the case.
You're also not, the one not, who would say no and then just let him see it, which would be hilarious.
I'm not gonna send it until I finish the story because it'll be more fun.
Okay.
So I was like, and Christine was like, no, I was like, I'm just not like into her at all. And like and I really gave like such a hilarious like speech. Honestly, that was the thing you just said. I was like, cause especially with Christine, like Christine drinking was pulling in like top tier chicks, like pretty. And I was taking gas station dick pills at one point because like, I didn't want to fuck up out of like nerves of like, yo, this is crazy. You know what I mean? And being like two in my own head. And I was like, oh, can't one time like look like this girl, like I'll feel like I'm doing like, you know, it's like she's excited that this is happening. You know what I mean? Like she can't believe this. And that feeling you just said of like being like,
you gave Christine a speech. You go, the inches are everywhere around us.
You gotta be willing to fight. So, I mean, we were like in a, and I was like, by the way, we're not going to do it. I don't want to do it if she doesn't want to do it. But I was like, it's, you're being really shitty and harsh.
And then you started shaming her.
Yeah. And I go, I shamed her for shaming somebody. And then, We had a roommate at the time, and it was Mike Fenoy. It was pretty funny, and I told him the whole thing. I'm like, yeah, so fucked up, dude. I'm like, what's the thing? And then for the first time ever, we were at a comedy club, and that comic, the first time I ever saw her, walked into the comedy club, and I was like, holy shit! And I go, that's what I was talking about, because he was definitely taking like the. I get it, dude. Like Christine should probably be a little understanding of that and kind of get that. And then when she walked in, he elbowed me and pointed to his phone. And I looked at my phone. He texted, "She's too big, bro." He was like, "I take Christine's side."
I'll tell you right now whose side I take. Send the name.
Don't say it out loud, please.
I won't. Oh wow.
Yeah.
Oh wow.
Yeah, they were right.
They were right, dude.
Yeah, I think we're all going to be on Christine's side on this one.
They, of course. I'm not arguing this at all. I'm telling you, I couldn't even.
Wait, well, now that I'm on, I got to go back to the story. How far did you get in the conversation with this girl?
What do you mean?
Like you were like planning it?
No.
Were you like talking sexy with her? Because now that I know who it is, it's very funny to be even talking sexually to this girl.
No. It was a thing that was kind of put out like Wong just out of nowhere. Like, you know, I was like, oh, I'd like to do this.
It was Ali Wong.
It was like, I'd like to do this. And then I just took that to Christine.
She would like to do it, the girl.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, it wasn't like I saw this person and started making the move on. It was brought to me. And then I was like, oh, yeah, maybe that'll be fun. You know, I was like,
it would just be hard to have sex with her. Not even because, like, she's not attractive.
Logistically.
She's attractive enough.
No, it's like a couch up a skinny, like, stand.
Yeah, no, you're, that's like, exactly the point.
You're
it's
have
like,
to put it on
oh,
an
no,
angle.
This isn't an ugly person. It's nothing to do with
square peg, round hole. I don't know how you'd get it done.
It wouldn't be awesome. I've been in this scenario before.
Yeah.
It ain't the shit.
It's not the shit, and it's not a knock on fat women in general. It's really a knock on being a fat guy without a great dick. I'm not going to be able to do what she needs.
I swear to you,
not going to be turned on. I'm going to start getting less turned on. She's going to start. It's going to be dry, soft, fat, smelly sex.
If I had a monster cock, I'd probably organically even just be into a little thicker chicks. I've always, it's funny, I found out through like trial and error that I'm actually like bony isn't necessarily like the best thing for me either. You know, I would always think that I'm like the smaller the chick, you know what I mean? Like the smaller their body is, the probably better it is. Like it's actually not always the best either.
Sometimes they're in preschool.
Too thin. Yeah.
Their pelvis parents, is crack.
I hear their parents walking around upstairs.
My conscience
I know shit's
kicks
about
in.
To come down. Yeah. I come to and realize, what is this thing?
What are you
Why
doing?
Am I this monster?
It's a child.
I'm going to go home and read the Bible while I hold my hand on a fire. You have to stop this madness. But it was so funny.
Giving
that speech and having Fenoy just be like, that is fucked up, dude. Look, you know, you got to have what your taste is, too. He was like, no, dude, don't forget I said that.
Yeah.
What's Fenoy up to these days? I haven't seen him in forever.
He's
in
Connecticut. He works in the city a bunch, but he's full-time in Connecticut living. Well, he works for the Joker still. And
remember when you tried to replace me with Mike Fenoya?
Mm-hmm. Well, we needed a bald guy. There's not many people.
It really, that's balding. This is how bad of a podcast producer Jay used to be. And I'll give you credit now, Jay. You figured it out. You've gotten a lot better. But that was literally how his mind went. He went bald. Okay.
No, it's not how it went. Honest to God, and this is almost more of a thing. I will have even immediate friendships cloud a very big decision. Do you know what I'm saying?
Well, yeah, you were just yes, I do know what you're saying. Like Fenoya was like your boy.
I brought people and not Fenoya, but I'm saying I brought people on the road in my career too early. Do you know what I mean? Because I'm just like,
yeah, right,
that's my boy. So I probably brought you a little too early for featuring, without a doubt.
Yeah.
I was ready.
Dave was ready.
Yes, I was ready. Ready day one.
You were always there. But you know what I mean? Because you're like, well, I want to hang up my butt. You know what I mean? It's like, didn't really think about the actual logistics of a show.
Did I ever tell you, and this is not a knock on these guys at all, but it was a moment that me and Dave had in our life where we realized we had to fucking just be our own men. There was a time where you were karaoke. You were the DJ for the karaoke at the Fat Black Pussycat, right? Making $200 on a Monday night to DJ, you know, and this is where you were at in your career. The reality. You needed the $200. It wasn't you weren't doing it for the fun of it. You needed the $200, unquestioned.
And it was a thing where you'd be like, you'd be like, no, it'll be fun, I'll do it. But you also just kind of needed the $200.
No, and did it for months beyond
when you wanted to do it.
I'm telling you that after about a month of doing it, I was like, oh, I don't like it. Actually, it's like it makes sense. I like to hang. I'd bullshit with Liz a bunch, the security guys. But reality is, it would get packed, and I got to sit there and play for just black people almost exclusively, soul music while they sing.
And you're Jay's trying to make jokes, and they're like, yeah, dude, just play the song.
Yeah, they no shit. The worst thing in one of the worst feelings ever in my life, in that one night without telling me at all during the karaoke, they go, we're doing a. The John Oliver tapings, he did a premium blend show at one point type thing on Comedy Central. They're doing the after party here. So there's comics going to be in there while I'm running the thing.
Oh, I remember this. Yes.
And Emily Heller came up and requested a song. I didn't know who she was. And I go, yeah, sure. I put it in the thing. And then she comes back and she starts trying to give me $20. She goes, can you put me up kind of soon? And I go, I'll get you up pretty quick. Though there's not a lot of people. I go, don't worry about it. And she's like, no, here. And she's she goes, no, this is your job. I want to tip you. And I was like, it's okay. It's absolutely fine. I'll put you up soon.
And meanwhile, you need that 20.
But I'm just like, well, here's the thing. I didn't know she was I didn't know she could have been someone on production for all I know. I was turning it down because I always turned down the tips because it just felt, I don't know why, it just felt lame.
Felt demeaning to take a tip. Yeah.
It did. I don't know. So I was like, I probably should.
And you were also kind of, I think, so people know, because you could kind of, and look, we were all there at points where you're kind of your identity is being a professional comic, but you're still kind of fucking broke, you know?
Yeah.
And so you're kind of taking it almost you can kind of spin this as no, I'm not the guy who works karaoke. It's they have one of the comedians here.
That's exactly what I told myself in my head.
So you're like, oh, I can kind of sell.
No, I remember you saying that you would justify it because you'd go, oh, I get to be funny too. I'm you know, that was your own spin.
But you need stuff like that. I remember having day jobs early in comedy where it would be the worst thing that could ever happen was when someone came in who had seen you at a club.
Mm-hmm.
And they'd be like, oh yeah, I saw you last Friday at Eastville or whatever. And it's just it just ruined your day. Cause you're just kind of whatever, it's dumb, but it's in your mind, you're like, oh, the image you had to that person was that you were a professional stand-up comedian.
Gone.
And now they just completely saw through the thing of that. And it's just, it's part of being a young comic, but it sucks.
Well, yeah. Jay would be at this thing every Monday.
Well, let me say this thing with this Emily Heller thing was hilarious. So she's trying to give me the $20 and I was like, no, I'll get you on. And then she goes off and does whatever. She sings her song And then at one point comes over to me again. She goes, oh my God. She goes, I feel so embarrassed, by the way. She goes, my name's Emily. I'm opening for you in San Francisco next weekend.
Oh man. She was opening for you. She's
opening for me in San Francisco next weekend. Damn, man.
She was like, so that's weird, huh? Here's another 20.
Here's another 20.
So I'm sorry. I should have made that 40.
Broke bitch. You clearly broke asshole.
She goes, hey, I'm opening for you next week. So I guess we're not selling a lot of tickets for that one. All right.
So sales are down. Okay. Okay.
Remember me and Dave came in one time and you were DJing. And like, you know, we had always been the guys to follow you around. Like, we're just like, we'd just be there with you.
I don't
like,
remember this.
Jay would be at his DJ booth, right? Fucking. And then we would be standing at his feet, staring at his cock, like literally in front of the DJ. It was, and I never realized how pathetic it was until we walked in one day and JF Harris and Mike Fenoya were in the me and Dave position, staring at your cock in front of the DJ booth. And I went, Dave, I was like, holy shit, dude. That was us last week. Never again. And we literally said, we're like, dude, that is the I've never seen anything sadder than being two puppy dogs standing at the feet of a comic that you look up to. Wally karaoke DJs for $200. It was the sad. The whole thing fucking, I went, this is nuts. We got to change the dynamic here.
That is funny though, my version of that would not read the same. I was like, oh, my boys, like after they do whatever are coming and just bullshit with me.
Well, yeah, dude, drinks you were and shit. Cause you were in that sweet position on your perch DJing karaoke.
Yeah, you were up.
I was like, I was almost like, you guys, my boys are coming to keep me company. Thank
Jay,
God.
We were at knee level. Like literally, you're there, and we're going. Look at Jay DJ. It was. It's just fucking. Ugh. It was just nauseating.
You have an optics thing with it more.
I think the comment is purely optics.
You were being paid to DJ, and we stared at you DJing for nothing. It wasn't even
But I got everybody drinks and shit. It's not true. We would karaoke a bunch. I'd put you guys up for.
We do a little bit of karaoke. We do a couple songs. It wasn't as much fun as you think it was. I think you liked having your boys there because
it was more fun. So
it was pathetic for us to stand around you while you did your karaoke job.
It wasn't great.
I don't know. I mean, if it was like there was something better you could have been. I agree. You shouldn't have been there. If you guys should have been doing like a.
No, we should have been at another comedy club.
If you're doing like spots or shows or even just hanging at a club, like, you know, hanging around the corner at the Cellar probably would have been more beneficial career wise. But I literally. So that's what I'm saying. I'm like, I'm drawing a weird thing. It's like you. It's whatever emotion you were putting on. I wasn't like. My minions are here to stare at my knees.
No, I don't think it was You're getting defensive, and it's not a commentary on you.
No, I don't think it's a commentary on us.
It's a commentary on what we were willing to be, which was standing at the feet of one of our more successful friends for 3 hours as he worked. It's the optics, the feeling.
Perks to it is almost the point I made.
There's no perks. We got to skip the line and karaoke a couple times.
Drank for free, completely for free.
No.
Yeah.
No, we got like, no,
the waitress. Absolutely.
I'm telling you, we didn't drink for free. I'm telling you, we got discounted drinks, unquestionably. Maybe a drink or two
Dave
would come
had
to us.
Zero money and drank every time.
I'm pretty sure we drank for free, but.
Well, maybe I didn't.
That would make sense,
Lewis.
Yeah, they charged me.
No. Well, my boys come hang, everybody would drink for free.
I'm not
being defensive. That's what I'm saying. It's like the weird way that something the same situation is viewed differently. I think that's interesting. That's what I'm saying.
We were willing to be your lackeys, and we were willing to follow you around and stand behind you as you took center court. It was sad, and that wasn't just there. It was like in every area. And I watched that with Rogan. Rogan goes to the comedy store, and you watch him take center court, and you watch 15 lackeys stand around him and stand behind him and go, "He's the alpha." Here he's the man here, and it's just I, as a dude, I don't know, it just sort of felt fucking watching the optic of walking in, watching a bald guy and a guy who kind of looks like Dave in that exact position staring up at you. It just made it very apparent that was sad.
Yeah, I'm not disputing your point of view. I'm just saying it's funny how like different it was viewed.
Well, the truth is that, and it's not, again, this isn't any like a criticism of you at all, Jay. I think it always came from a place like you just liked having, you liked having a crew with you. And like you did also, you liked being the leader of your crew, but you liked always having your boys with you. It made you feel more comfortable and for whatever, you know, like whatever anxiety.
Jay, when you weren't, when you should have been featuring, when you first started headlining, you would bring host, a feature, and two guest spots to the club. You were getting paid $800 for the weekend.
The club, the club still thinks this. To this day, I don't bring a host. I was literally, but I mean, no, but I think it's also like, it was Jay's, your own like anxiety about like, you know, dealing in the world. You'd be like, I'll be more comfortable if I have my boys with me.
Sure.
But me and Lewis, particularly me, I did way too much of it early in my career. It's purely a comment on optics, but it's a bad look for you. It's like, it makes people look at you like, oh, you're just like the dude who like kind of latches on to this.
No, yeah, I know. Not, I would fucking hate it. It would.
Well, also with this podcast,
it was the way, remember when I said when I could feel like when Kurt would come on and be kind of shitty to you guys and not even like, without even thinking about it, like I was like scrunching down in that situation. You know what I mean? I'm like, oh man, like he doesn't feel what I would hate. Is like when they would, I mean, the one was funny when Sherrod called, where's Lewis and the other Lewises? You made me laugh one time, but it was a joke, something at the Cellar somebody made as like a passing joke about, and this, it was of calling of like Dave or something being like, it's like Jay and his bitch or something like that. And you hear that and you're like, cause I said, like, again, I wasn't that, I'm not retarded, so I understood the optics, but I'm thinking it's really just like, yeah, me and Dave just smoke butts and weed and talk shit and laugh.
Here's
and
the other
shit.
Side of it as well, right? So we started a podcast, right, mm-hmm. where me and Dave were really, really young in comedy.
Sure.
You know what I'm saying? You were already pretty established. So we have been
at least
selling
locally.
I mean, even in the beginning, if you listen to the first like 8 to 10 episodes, it was like the Big J Show with your, you know, your co-hosts and your
the idea.
Yeah, I know. And this has turned more into the three of us and it's Legion of Skanks and we're the Legion of Skanks. But initially, like we were selling ourselves and we were selling ourselves accurately. We weren't headliners. We weren't good at comedy yet. We hadn't figured it out yet. So we grew up in front of this audience, which is a weird thing. And it's something that like we've all had to fucking struggle with. To this day, I have people come up like, hey, dude, why do you say you suck at comedy? And I was like, well, I did say for a long time because I did suck at comedy. I was trying to figure it out. I was just being honest, but I didn't realize that I'm selling myself to my own audience as not being good at this craft.
Sure, you know
what I'm saying? So it's it was just sort of like,
well, you've always been an honest salesman.
Learn from other people. But I mean, it's in that area. Lewis wasn't great at it. And there were other people who kind of like, you'd watch their career and realize like, oh yeah, they just always, even from the point before they were ready, always just sold themselves kind of like as the man. And it benefited them. It was a much better way to do it. It's just
the Attell school of thought where like Dave Attell will get off stage today. Right now, the greatest living comic, Dave Attell, I think at the very least, can debate that, debatably the greatest living comic for most comics will agree that, right? He will get off stage every time and go, I suck, I'm a hack, fuck, what am I even doing up here, right?
No,
and like,
I'm from the school.
But the lineage came from like you got like you and Metzger and these guys like sort of came from the Attell, and I just always like, I don't know, I always thought that I stunk compared to Dave Attell and Patrice, and if you weren't there, you kind of stink. And that's I look at all comics now like they still kind of stink. You know what I'm saying? Like there's only a few fucking true greats. And we're all sort of students of the game.
I've never pushed my comedy as like, yo, you guys ready for the fire this week? I'm always like, come hang out, we'll laugh and bullshit. I am a perpetual underseller. Lewis, I don't think you are an overseller. You're an underseller too. Same thing. I said we all kind of come from that thing of like.
Well, it's also funnier to say you suck. It's also like no matter what, like the mentality of like self-deprecation it's built into the style of comedy that we all love, right? It's you know your faults and the things that stink, you want to highlight them, you want to exaggerate them. Whereas I think there's a different thing, LA comics and a lot of New York comics as well, is they want to talk about their big dicks. They want to talk about their nice cars. They want to talk about how they kick ass and take names. And that's just what they do. And whereas I think we were like, well, that's not comedy. The audience doesn't actually play by those rules. The audience just want to laugh. So if they're funny,
well,
they don't really give a shit.
Specifically, it's specific. Like you can kind of keep all that stuff that we love, you can keep the self-deprecation, but just like don't apply it to like your like
your show. Don't apply it to like that I'm a bad comic or shit like that. As a, I don't get this so much anymore, as I think I've kind of like established myself in my own lane now, but it used to be a thing for years from like the podcast where like I do shows and people would come out and be, and they would almost like, it was weird that they would feel comfortable enough to say it, but they would almost be like, oh dude, you're actually really good stand-up, I'm surprised.
Yeah.
And like you'd be like, oh, all right. Okay. Well, thank you, I guess. But like, but you did that, that would make me realize,
I mean,
like,
oh, there's yeah. a positive side to it as well. Like when I go out now and I fucking go and I headline people, I do get that. And in a weird way, like it's, you know, it's kind of good to undersell yourself for that reason. But the reality is now it's like a re-education process for the audience. Like for like, yeah. I have to go out and fucking, you know, one by one, like convince my own audience that I'm fucking,
you wouldn't
worth
be
seeing.
On tour. You wouldn't be touring like this if you weren't. It's like all demand. You
know, no, I mean? I know. But, you know, it's still, once again, a fucking education. But I still get that. People will come up to me after shows and be like, ah, dude, you're really fucking funny, dude. I don't know why you say you stink. And I'm like, no, I said I stink a decade ago on a podcast.
I'm like, I don't know. I just listened to it on Tuesday.
Yeah, you're like, dude, what are you talking about? I got the on-demand sure. library. You say you stink all the time.
Yeah, it's like your thing. Hey, real quick, let's talk about one of our amazing sponsors. I'd say longtime sponsors now over here at Legion of Skanks. And that, of course, is Zippix Toothpicks, everybody. Maybe you're looking for a toothpick. Maybe you're looking for a way to quit smoking. Or how do we say it? Maybe you're looking for a way to quit smoking or satiate that nicotine fiend. Or maybe you just want to really pay, you want to pay, you want to pay a lot tooth. Of money. You want to pay a lot of money just to get a toothpick. Either way, you're going to get that nicotine buzz.
Sublingual absorption, awesome baby boy.
Sublingual absorption, you know that. So if you're
it's
ever
my favorite
sitting
type of absorption
in a hotel lounge, front row at a concert, all kinds of things, hot air balloon travel, any place
maybe you're on,
you
maybe you're on a private jet with Kevin Hart, who knows,
maybe you're on a private
by the way
jet with
Jay,
Kevin Hart.
You can mm-hmm. You can smoke cigarettes on a hot air balloon.
Oh,
I travel that way quite often, it's fine.
Oh, I knew Dave would eventually travel the way he always dreamed, by hot air balloon.
I'll be hot air ballooning out to Providence this weekend.
Well, not there, but not on the hot air balloon, but anywhere else you can't vape or smoke. There's no smell and there's no smoke and there's no cigarette butts. They cost a ton less than cigarettes. Go to ZippixToothpicks.com, Z-I-P-P-I-X toothpicks.com. Use that promo code LOS10 and you're going to get 10% off your order today. So the code does make sense. LOS10. Get you 10% off your order at ZippixToothpicks.com. Let's get back into it. Good.
I don't even know what I was going to say. I was just umming.
Oh, nice. Well, anyway, she was too big.
She was too big. She was way too big. We can all agree on that.
Bobby,
that's the end of this, is you agreeing with
there.
Christine too.
Don't mind a thick chick. I don't mind a thick chick at all. And by any means, but just sometimes it's just not going to, it's not going to work out well.
No, there's a certain level of like just measurements. Like you said it before, man, trying to stuck a circle into a square.
Mm-hmm. I remember this one chick I was fucking one time, and she had just a big black ass, big old black ass on this girl.
Okay.
And I couldn't.
It was really, weird because she was a ginger.
I couldn't get the angle. Mm-hmm. To like really pleasure her, like it just wasn't like the tip of it was like just getting like her ass and the tip of it got into the pussy.
If the ass is too big underneath, it's like sitting on a pill, it almost pushes their pussy like back, it takes it off the bed too much. It's a thing. I've been there.
Well, I remember this chick I was fucking and I couldn't do it. And this sort of like she was slamming her ass so hard into my pelvis because she wanted more dick that I didn't have. Ooh, so she's just fucking really mm-hmm. yeah. slamming it back. Yeah. And
where the rest of it back there?
Yo, where the rest of it at? Yo, go against the wall.
Yo, put it in. Is it in? It's in.
Which yeah, hole?
I had to put it in her ass. Just to stop her from slamming her ass so hard into my pelvis.
You whoops wrong holder on purpose.
I didn't whoops wrong holder.
It was a defensive ass fucking.
Yes. I was like, all right, if that's what you're going to do, this is what I'm going to do. And then she fucking literally slammed it. I mean, all the way down to my dick. And she went
in her ass.
Yeah.
What did she do?
Yee.
And then what? You pulled out and kept shit all over you.
Kept going. No, she let me fuck her in the ass. She was a savage.
Really?
This is when I was selling comedy club tickets. I'm like 22 years old. This was in one of the
like stairwells.
No. In one of the booths at the like the 42nd Street, like porn you put thing. A dollar in to watch porn.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would take girls into those things.
She was slamming in there.
Slamming in there.
Wow. I'm surprised no one bothered you from the thing. And then got butt fucked in there.
They got butt fucked in there.
I always assume public sex in scenarios like that, especially like in a porn booth theater, is going to be gay sex.
I'm sure most of it was.
I'd be surprised if I would guess. I know very few, probably no girls who have been fucked in like a porn booth.
Think about this, like when you, if you could just like,
it's a genre of porn.
If you could walk down the street and like almost magically imagine like every female's sluttiest moment, I bet you every one of them would have something way more dark and depraved than you could ever imagine. Like just something really fucking.
You know, Lewis
rancid.
Is on tour because these are good daydreams. Here's mine, Lewis. Every time I go to the airport, I go, what if it was just today I was told you can only fuck for the rest of your life girls that are in this airport right now? And then I walk around. I go, oh, nice. Oh, no. Oh, no. Not that. Oh, but that's good.
I used to do that with TV when I jerked off as a kid. I would flip through the channels and I would just jerk off to whoever was on the screen until I would come. And I'd keep on flipping. And I'd have to no matter how ugly they were, no matter how fucking big and fat and disgusting, if they could be a retarded person in the hospital, I had to jerk off to that person no matter when I was clicking.
I used to play Jay's same game but on a subway cart, which is what really ups the stakes a lot. Like you're just on this cart,
really,
that's all you got. We're on a desert island right here, everyone in the subway cart, it's just us. Who could I make it work with?
Mine's not so much like who could I work it out forever.
I'm saying like who here, like is there anyone fuckable?
Oh yeah,
there's a game
for sure.
I used to play when I was like 22.
And that game is much higher stakes, but I'm saying every woman you see for the rest of this airport walk,
you have to fuck her in your head.
You're going to fuck. Like for the rest of your life, this is the batch of women you will fuck. And some of them.
So everyone, no matter what, there's a grandmother.
Right, so you're
going to
be like,
we used to play this game with cars. When I was like 10, we would sit on the front porch and then the car would come by and we'd be like, I was in one, my buddy Mike Guerrero was in slot number two, James Ciccone was in slot number three. So the first car would be my car, the second car would be his car, third car would be his car. And it would just, for hours, we'd be like, car sucks.
Yeah. El Camino, no.
taxi, no.
Well, I could sell that medallion and make a couple bucks, I guess.
Being bored, so we would sit on the front porch and we would play.
I'm 45 sitting in an airport doing that. I'm just sitting there listening to Howard Stern, waiting at my gate. Just a woman just walks up to the gate and you're like, gotta fuck her too. Yeah. All right, well, I'll do it. I have to. If I want to fuck that other girl who's standing over there. Oh, and no staff. Purely the people.
It's really sad. You know what I feel bad for women?
It is pretty
sad. Can I tell you why I feel bad for women? This is what. Listen, women, like, inherently, like, if you're fat and ugly, mm-hmm. just so you know, and this is really mean, but it's the truth. When a man sees you, we think it. And I don't think that when a woman sees an ugly man, that every time she's going, what an ugly, unfuckable piece of shit. I don't think her mind even goes there.
I don't know if you're right, but I bet you're probably right.
Like every time I see a chick, like no matter, like we analyze whether or not we could fuck them, no matter what. And if you're unattractive, the thought goes in our mind of, yuck. Like we think about how ugly you are, and that's a sad reality for all women in the world.
That's so fucked up. It's
but
funny.
It's true. I think
if you see someone who has like, you know, like someone threw acid in her face or something, and your first reaction isn't it really is
thought is like
I'm not gonna fuck her, and oh my god, who's the monster who did that to her?
Could I
first evaluate the fuckability?
Could I do that? Could I fuck her?
I'd like to think that's not true.
He's a guy, but no matter what the guy,
great concept.
No matter what the guy is, too, even if it's like an EMT or something like that, or he's gets there, a gunshot victim. He's like, I definitely couldn't fuck this chick. Okay, it looks like the brain is still inside her.
Clear.
Oh, 92 years old? I'd still probably do it. Yeah, look at those titties bounce. Okay. You come back to me, Estelle.
Dougie, it's just the way guys are built. We just think that way. If
it is, you know, you're right, but the balancing factor in the universe is that generally speaking, that ugly chick has more access to sex than the ugly dude does. Like, there's more like that. There's more dudes that are still just willing to fuck that
but
chick.
Not the type of guys that they would ever want to fuck, right?
Yeah, so probably not. Well, listen, I'm not saying
I get that she gets to have some gross dick. Like, I don't know that that is the worthwhile payoff for being atrocious.
This chick isn't in a position to make demands here. Okay, I'm offering her what she can get. That's what she can have. The benefit for guys is that they can achieve something in life that will actually make them fuckable to women. Like, you could make a lot of money.
The more successful and funny and money that a woman has, it actually makes her less fuckable.
If Beyonce that's true. Worked at Burger King, he can still get Jay-Z.
Yeah, I'm not saying
Jay-Z worked at Burger King. He ain't gonna skip scab with Uber.
Yeah, I definitely wouldn't put this thought in my hour special, but but there is truth to it.
Of course there is.
I mean, there is. And it is, like Lewis said, it's not just that if a woman has a lot of success or makes a lot of money, that it's like a turnoff to men, but it doesn't add anything. Doesn't make
it adds almost nothing
more.
I shouldn't say that. So my chick that I'm dating now, for the first time in my life, I've started thinking this way, right? She's from a good family. Right. Like, both of her parents are lawyers. They have a nice house. It's not so much that that means anything to me. I'm not getting that house. Right. What it ultimately, like, she's from good stock and like her parents are supportive of her dance career. She like whatever that whole thing is, it just is way more attractive than some other girls that I've dated where it's just like maybe they have a shitty family and like the fucking, you know, it's just kind of like. That never mattered to me. If a girl like grew up like in a white trash family or poor or fucking just kind of like whatever it was, that background and that lineage didn't mean absolutely anything to me at all. Whereas now, as I have a kid, I have businesses. I'm doing a lot of things that I'm going to share with my partner. Like, the fact that they're not an absolute piece of shit from like a shitty background is way more attractive.
Well, I get what you're saying, but there's almost like, so I agree with you, but it's almost like a different part of your brain. Like, you're going like, oh, okay, this is going to make my life better. So I'd rather be with someone like that. But it's not just like, it doesn't make the person more sexually attractive to you necessarily. Like, just in terms of how much you'd want to fuck a chick, you're basing it based off like attraction, like,
right? Just, you know, it saying? Is 100% purely physical.
Now, for a chick, if she's really successful and wealthy, she's now at a level where it's almost impossible for her to like want to be with a guy who's like broke, because like, she, you know what I'm saying? And so it's like, it's almost like she's limited.
I dated a couple of chicks who were somewhat successful.
Yeah, look,
when I was
really
broke.
It's more a rule of thumb.
It's a rarity, but I think that it, like, there's certain chicks where like they have like a mother thing where they wanted like be a mom.
I'm not saying there are exceptions, but generally speaking, when you were at the bottom rung, that's, you weren't generally getting.
It's probably as rare as the hot 22-year-old teacher that wants to fuck a 15-year-old kid. Like, you'll find them. You'll just find like she has something genetically in her, like some little fucking thing that she's turned on by this fucking teenage boy, right?
Yeah, but it's rare. It's the exception, not the rule.
Now, the timing, dude. That's funny. That's the prettiest girl, or one of them, hottest girls I ever hooked up with, when she was like young. I mean, like, dated for a while exclusively a guy in System of a Down. Like, she was so hot, and now it's like just a 40-year-old heavy set mother.
Dude, I am an Eskimo brother with one of the members of System of a Down as well.
Really?
Oh, hey.
Now I'm wondering if it's the same chick.
No.
How do you know? There's no, you don't have enough data. I've not given you enough data to know. All I'm saying, what you, the only thing you could deduce is that it could be based off of the data that I've given you.
The girl's name?
No. Which member of System of a Down?
Darren.
Nope, different.
Who is yours?
John.
The drummer?
I call them by their first names once I fuck the same women that they fucked.
John.
We're going to find out.
You say you call them by his first names. Their last names are like Dolmayal McCauley. Yeah,
John, I know all their names. John Dolmayan, Darren. Nope, don't know them all.
Dolmayan.
Shavo Adagian.
Serge Tonkikonkian.
Sure. Serge Tankarankian. Wangalanga Bing Bang. Shivalanga Boom Bong. Oh shit. I met her at Caroline's, this girl was a fucking wackadoodle, dude. I met
many wackadoodles at Caroline's,
and she fucked me in the green room at Caroline's the first night she met me. Might have been your show, Jay, honestly.
Sounds like it.
And then I remember she wanted me to take the rubber off. And there's just something about a girl being like, ooh, take the rubber off. Or I'm like, ew. Like, I should be doing that.
Let's get family.
Get out of my head, you crazy whore.
Yeah.
Let's make this dangerous. And then, yeah, she was very aggressive sexually. Like, there's also, like, I don't mind a girl who's, like, horny. But, like, in a weird way, like, if a girl is, like, if she's out libidoing me, I think she's been like raped. Like there's something going on there. Like if you're that horny, what the fuck happened to you? You crazy bitch. Cause I'm a horny motherfucker, dude. My girl's got to fight me off a little bit. By the end of the weekend, if I spend a week on my chick, by then she's like, all right, calm down. Fucking, you know, you really are horny. But this chick was like, just like, let's go again. Rawr, no condom. I was like, no way, dude. I can't do it.
You just gave your girlfriend the secret. Act like she wants to overfuck.
No, dude. I need her to be turned on. I need her to not want it a little.
That's weird. Okay.
All right, gentlemen, let's take a quick moment and thank one of our brand new sponsors, which is feetfinder.com. Feet Finder is essentially OnlyFans for feet models. So if you're a fucking bitch with some nice toes, guess what? This could be your opportunity to go become an online sex worker and sell pictures of your feet and get subscribers. If you got beautiful feet, if you wear high heels, if you want to show the bottoms of your feet, if you have painted toenails.
Some of you pigs like to look in the mirror and pretend that you're not whores. But all of you could be foot whores and your family wouldn't even know.
And I know a lot of the guys that listen to the show, they love feet. I love feet. I'll put a foot in my mouth in a heartbeat. And I'll tell you right now, I've been really enjoying browsing feetfinder.com. I've already subscribed to a few beautiful, beautiful tootsies. You guys can be like me and the rest of the Legion of Skanks. Just go to feetfinder.com.
Oh, where'd that little piggy go? Where'd that little piggy go?
If you want to go ahead roast me all the way home, well, guess what? Feetfinder.com is your place to go. Ooh. And when you go there, let them know that the Skanks sent you. All right, where were we?
What is that shirt? Fear and Loathing?
Yeah.
Is it? It's so busy.
There's a lot going on.
That's like that's the loudest shirt I've ever seen you wear. Where is it from?
It's completely silent, Jay.
Well, you would probably put the microphone up to it.
Oh, hold on.
Did you buy it?
No, it's a popular clothing brand called From New York.
All right.
And these guys make these shirts, and the guy came out to my show and gave me two different shirts.
Oh.
Yeah, they're like,
well, that's cool.
Particularly expensive shirts that I would never personally buy.
Of course not. There's bad.
I mean, I'm kidding. Go to buy From New York shirts. I just don't typically wear like really colorful shit. It's just very, very comfortable. You know what I'm saying? I just want it to be comfortable today.
Yeah, it's like so much. That's what I'm saying. It's weird. Like you wear much more like plain clothing than that.
Yeah. What are you going to do?
Well, start wearing some flowery shirts, maybe. We got to ramp this thing up.
Let's do some plugs. Can we plug it up? I want to make another cup of coffee too. So do you guys mind if I plug first?
Sure.
Go ahead.
First thing first, Skankfest tickets on sale April 10th. Buy them 1 p.m. Eastern. I don't even got to oversell it. You know what the fuck's up. Best lineup in the world. Craziest party in the world. It will sell out in minutes. Get there at 1 p.m. Eastern, skankfest.com. If you wait, you ain't getting tickets. If you want to see me live, I'm touring all over the fucking place. The next city I'll be in will be in St. Louis on April 14th and 15th. Then I'm going to Las Vegas for a 420 show. And that same weekend, I will be in Salt Lake City, Utah, at Wise Guys, the West Jordan location. Then Fort Worth coming up, Houston coming up, Lafayette, Emias, Pennsylvania, Grand Rapids, Chicago, Detroit, and many more. Go to lewisofskanks.com to grab tickets for those shows and more. Working on a brand new special that I'm filming this summer. We'll be out late in the summer. And yeah, subscribe to Gas Digital. Brand new website, brand new app. We're launching a bunch of stuff right now. So subscribe, support this network, support this show. If you guys want the entire on-demand library, thousands of hours of episodes where you can't get anywhere else, get them at gasdigitalnetwork.com. Use the promo code LOS. Get a 7-day free trial. Get access to many member benefits, including the Racist Live Chat, which is always a lot of fun.
Coffee time.
Coffee time.
Go ahead, Davey.
All right. This weekend, if you're listening to it, come on out tonight, I guess. I think, right? Tonight. This comes out on Friday or tomorrow night. Yeah. Come on out.
Right now.
Or Sunday night. Providence, Rhode Island, back at the Comedy Connection. I got Chris Vega coming out with me for the whole weekend. And then Rob Bernstein is going to come out on Sunday night. So he'll be there for the Sunday night show. And then I'm going all over the place. Got a lot of live stuff coming up. ComicDaveSmith.com for all the dates and ticket links and all that. I think next I've got Albany, Tampa, Chicago, a whole bunch of stuff. So go check all that out there. April 1st is the MECOC event, the Decentralized Revolution. I'll be speaking at with a lot of other great libertarians, Tom Woods, Maj Touré, Gene Epstein. So if you like the libertarian shit, come on out to that. It's on the Upper West Side of Manhattan.
I've heard a few people giving shouts when I'm on the road, like places that you've been. Mm-hmm. St. Louis, right? Were you there also?
Yeah, I was just there.
I tell people that have seen, if not St. Louis, but some place where people have seen Robbie with you, really complimenting Robbie, saying how fucking funny he is.
Rob,
well, I haven't seen Robbie stand up in a long time, so it's like, but they're like, he's fucking hilarious.
Rob's gotten really strong. He's really fucking funny. He crushes for me every time. He's great, like always doing great. And he's really funny, really funny dude. Yeah. He's done a great job. Yeah. Maybe they'd say something about me next time, but you know, I mean,
they were like, Dave, blah, 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 blah.
Did someone come on after Rob? Was there a comic after him?
Sorry, I was outside protesting when that asshole was on. I'm sorry,
they joined the protest.
Yeah.
Big Rob fan, but then they joined the protest. No, April 1st, the Decentralized Revolution Mises Caucus event. I felt like there was something else I wanted to plug. I can't remember. Anyway,
Trump 2024.
Yep, there you go. Trump 2024. ComicDaveSmith.com. That's got all my stuff there.
Dude, I saw in Queens, right near the Queensboro Bridge, two walls of graffiti, real like shitty graffiti. You know what I mean? Like somebody running through and Trump 2024 and then Trump in bubble letters. Very interesting.
Well, I think he's getting arrested next week. So see how that goes.
I've got a gazillion things coming up. If you're listening tonight, break through the Antifa people and come see me in Rochester. Comedy at the Carlson. I think there's some tickets still available.
It's not a success unless you get a protest, Jay. I don't care. I don't care how many tickets. I don't care if you sell them all out.
You're not wrong about that.
Sold.
Next weekend, Spokane, Washington. Make sure you come see me there. It's only my second time there. Spokane Comedy Club, I think. It's one of those is right. Then I'll be at West Nyack at Levity Live. Lewis is going to be there with me on those 2 days, Friday and Saturday, the 7th and 8th of April. But that week before that, everyone, April 5th, the big news, my new special Dog Belly Live from Skankfest coming out on YouTube, absolutely free. I need everybody to watch it. This is my instructions. Watch it the first day. Comment on it and share it. Algorithms.
Stop, Jay.
What?
You do this every time.
What?
Just fucking plug it seriously. Stop snickering I mean at yourself that. For I no, you're
spend all my money on this. Please do those things and get I know, the algorithms.
You're still saying it in a way where you're sort of like,
I gotta be honest with you, I don't know. I still don't understand what algorithms is, but I was told those are the things I have to tell people.
So essentially,
to do.
The more people click on it and the comment. More people engage, the more it yeah. will show up in other comedy fans' things, right? So that's the idea.
Right. Please yeah. everybody do that.
You're watch looking for
share the shit out of it, comment the shit.
If you like Mark Norman, you will also enjoy huh.
Gotcha.
That's what you're looking for.
Okay. And that's just a computer program that figures that out.
No, it's yeah, a guy.
They
name
they
is
essentially,
algorithm.
They essentially...
Algorithm? Hey everyone, I'm Algorithm.
Comes from a long line of strong rhythms.
It's a three-name guy. I'm Algorithm. But again, that weekend after the special comes out, me and Lewis in West Nyack, Levity Live, then Detroit House of Comedy for the first time. My first time doing a weekend in Detroit, so I'm pretty excited about that since me and Dave did Royal Oak a bazillion years ago. Moon Tower Comedy
Festival.
That's
the first time you're in Detroit since then?
Yeah, Nashville Comedy wow. Festival. I'm going to be doing a couple things down there. I don't know if they announced it yet. Let's just say I did it last year, and I didn't become best friends with the guy, but we're trying again. Appleton, Wisconsin. All over the place, everyone. Support the special when it comes out. Me and Robert Kelly doing the new Bonfire 2.0 over at SiriusXM Faction Talk 103. And, of course, the SDR show right here on the Guest Digital Network.
Love it. Love
tonight
it.
Tonight we have hip-hop legend Melly Mel on the SDR show.
You saw Adam 22 is being canceled right now?
I did.
For what?
See that.
What do you
well,
do?
They keep saying that he like has bragged about, I don't know if it's wanting to or actually fucking 16-year-olds before, but he made a lot of jokes. So, you know, I don't want to fucking hang him to dry there, but I don't know if there was some actual.
I'm not hanging him to dry at all. I'm just saying. So my understanding what happened was he had like one of the pedophile hunter guys on his show.
Yeah.
Some black dude. And the guy.
And he confronted him. He was like, why are you doing this, man? Why are you ruining innocent people's lives?
They're called black pedophile hunters.
So no, but the guy's like, I'd be a hypocrite if I didn't call you out because you admitted on your podcast that you fucked a 16-year-old girl when you were 22, something like that. So I guess, and my understanding of it is like with interviews and like the timelines, like that's sort of like the story is that when he was 22, he fucked this 16-year-old girl. But was he like in the industry when he was 22?
Legal
was
he in like, Canada?
What's up? He was in Canada.
No, I said legal in Canada, 16 years old.
Well, that's the other thing is like, it's whereas like, it's definitely creepy. You know what I'm saying? I just it's like, creepy. If he was just some fucking hip hop street kid when he was, I just 20 years later, that's cancelable. That's a little bit, you know, in my opinion.
Is he in his 40s?
Yeah, he's in his 40s, dude. Yeah, yeah. Or I think he said he was 40 or something like that.
It's definitely, you know, it's fucked up, but it's well, a whole
on, there's
different
other
level
things. There's...
of than like an adult fucking a child. You know what I mean? It's like
yeah, when you call somebody a pedophile, like I it's a little bit different than that. Like the whole Jerry Seinfeld thing with that set with his that 17-year-old girl came out. I think that's substantially creepier. 38
Much
years
creepier.
Old dating a 17-year-old girl.
That was wacky, for sure. Let me read the thing he did. It says that he began dating a Canadian girl named Desiree when she was 16 years old. Admitted to it in a blog post in which he has also shared her nudes.
Well, that's great.
Ooh, that's not good.
Then allegedly sexually assaulted her when she was 19, as well as accusations that he hooked up with a 16-year-old girl while on tour with Lil Pump. Adam 22 denied the accusations made by the first girl in 2018. In March 2023, the Predator Catching Page official Perv Busters confirmed about the allegations while filming an episode of the podcast, and he kicked them off the show, renewing interest in the controversy.
So this has been out for a little while.
I guess so. It just kind of got buried probably for him. But that's
this came out in 2018. I don't know Adam's like history. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like I just yeah.
The
I
problem
mean,
is when you exist though in such like a seedy world, like you know what I mean, like
yeah, like underground hip hop, like. That world, I'm assuming there's a lot of that.
I'm sure.
You know,
oh yeah, but I'm just saying, underground hip hop in general. It's like just he's in a world of just you know he does porn now, and
I'm sure.
Like,
yeah,
there's just like nothing. If someone's like trying, someone has to really drop a lot of like just immediate visual reactions to this person if you're going to give him like a fair shake to be like, nah, he's probably fine.
Didn't some other celebrity when they were 22 date a 16-year-old? Didn't that happen like kind of recently? Like Kylie Jenner or somebody, she was dating like Tyga or one of these guys when she was like 16. This shit just like, look, it's not like, it's fucking creepy. You know what I'm saying? Obviously, but it's just not that much of a fucking thing where I'm going like some 22-year-old is dating a 16-year-old girl.
I don't know how you'll feel, Lewis, when James that age, but like, Dave, you are definitely going to understand like,
oh, your it's girl, it's daughter.
Of course, but I'm just saying, you're just going to realize I'm not even talking about the sex and the age. I'm talking about like, it is a kid. Like, yeah. 16. I know when I was 16, I was like, I could be home by myself for hours and whatever. And I've been in fights and you feel like you kind of just like experienced life, but you're such a fucking kid.
Kylie was 17 and he was 24. I mean,
your mother's a pimp.
It's fucking weird. You know what I'm saying? But I'm not calling Tyga a pedophile, and I can't call Adam 22 a pedophile if 20 years ago he was, you know, and 22 is a kid. Still, you know what I'm saying? Like 22 is like a pretty young fucking age. It's weird. I think, you know, if my son was 22 and he brought home a 16-year-old girl, I'm like, dude, what are you doing? Like this looks really bad. It's not, but I definitely wouldn't think that he's a fucking pedophile.
Unless it became consistent.
Dude, 38 years old and 17. Seinfeld and that chick, fucking whatever, Lowenstein. Like that's fucking,
or even 18. Even 18, a 35-year-old fucking an 18-year-old is more fucked up to me.
It's more fucked up, and it's weird. But once again, it's also like I don't look at that as being criminal, and there has to be a line. You have to figure out a line.
Listen, I agree with you. I'm just saying, I think a 35-year-old fucking an 18-year-old is way more fucked up than a 22-year-old fucking a 16-year-old.
Agreed.
Not saying either is okay, but one is so clearly like you're in like different generations. It's like, you know, like I agree with you, Jay, about the point, like they are children, but it's not like there's something so magically different about an 18-year-old and a 16-year-old. I mean, it's like, it's less fucked up.
And it's also, it is that Chappelle bit. It depends on who you're talking to. What 16-year-old are you talking to, right?
Sure.
So my mom at 16 was already a drug addict, was about to have a baby in a year. Like it is a very different thing than
already paid
the average 16-year-old girl today, right? The average 16-year-old girl, I'm assuming there are just a lot. I also think like they act like everyone sort of acts a lot younger. So 16 today is a lot younger than 16 was 20 years ago. You know, 30 year. I think most people now live at home till they're in their mid 20s. Nobody's buying property till they're in their 30s. 30, 40 years ago, you buy your first house when you're 23 years old, 24 years old. You graduate college, you put a down payment on a house, you get your first job. It was just a different thing. So I think it also
They were doing that out of high school. They weren't even graduating college, you know? They were just like,
you know, I'm always rooting for Isabel and her friends to be a lesbian couple. And it's so funny with her being a 20, you know, her friends are like, she has like 22-year-old friends and 18, you know, she's 20. So like, we went to dinner a couple weeks ago and she brought like her friend with her. Like Carla made some jokes. She goes, I think maybe they're dating. And I was like, okay, Isabella. Like it's the first time I saw like Isabella bring a friend where you're like, it's an adult woman, technically. You know what I mean? You're like, that's like a pretty lady. It's not like it's not a child, but in personality, complete. You know what I mean? Like they're kids. It's very weird.
Sure.
So you're right. 22, 17. I don't know how much difference there is in like,
depends on who it is. Like, I don't know who, you know, I don't know if he was in the industry then. Like, that's another side of it as well. It's like, if you're in the industry and you're out there on the road fucking teenage fans, that's kind of crazy. You know what I'm saying? Like, that is a different thing than being some fucking street kid.
The accusations are like, saying it's like, oh, this is like a consistent, if it's a consistent thing, then you're like, oh, that's a problem. You know what I mean? If somebody.
It's just different. Look, when I was in this 20 years ago, I remember this chick, Allison Tyler, she dated a 30-year-old guy. He was 30. He would pick her up in his pickup truck and it was fucking weird. And it was like, he was like a loser. Like we were like, oh, what a fucking loser. Like dating this girl in high school. Right. But
now you realize he was getting that sweet, sweet, tight, tight pussy.
Well, now I think back and I was like, no, he was a fucking pedophile. But at the time,
how old was he?
30. And she was like 16, maybe even 15. She might not even been 16, dude. We were like in 10th grade, maybe. And he would show up.
Actual name for that. It's his not name pedophile. Is Lance. I forget what it is.
His name, yeah. His name is Lance. Awesome disease.
Yeah. Tiny dick needs tight pussy.
Kick ass tick name itis. No, it was yeah, but it was just sort of like a creepy thing. But it wasn't at the time. We never were like, oh, this guy's a fucking pedophile. And there was a big fucking age gap there.
Oh, no, I know. I'm saying I never, when girls in high school were dating guys out of high school, it never, it almost to me was like, oh, that's because they're like the hot, cool kids. Do you know what I mean? Like, so of course they can't be with like, we're children down here.
No, I remember
with like adults.
There was a chick in my high school when we were 16 and she fucked. Her doorman must have just been an adult. I mean, I don't know exactly how old he was. And like two of them, like him and his buddy, she fucked. And the only angle any of us had on it was like, ah, she's such a slut. We never even like thought of like
this child was raped by two adult men. Yeah,
like, she's being coerced by adults.
Yeah, like that just wasn't even in like the lexicon of
this
thoughts.
Is her fault. Why
and I think look, it's the perspective is we're that age, so we think we're like grown up. We're like, yeah, no,
I didn't feel like no one was like taking advantage of me if I voluntarily had sex with them in my mind. So right, it wasn't like applying that to them. It was just like, oh, yeah. And she was a slut. It wasn't like that. It wasn't like she wasn't also fucking, you know, hadn't fucked a ton of other kids around our age. But yeah, it's all about where your perspective is.
Yeah.
Obviously, so looking at it as an adult, you're like, oh, yeah, those guys were real pieces of shit.
But yeah, I don't know. How do you feel about this whole fucking Adam 22 thing?
I just don't know enough about it. You know, yeah, I always say that. It's like, if you're like, okay, if he's denying it or whatever, then like,
well, then
I
he denied. Know. He said she was 19 when they fucked.
He defended himself. Like the video of him, like the guy filming himself, like confronting him. There's that little video. You saw that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, like that.
He sounds
like defensive, but again, you know, he might just be defending himself.
Yeah, he goes, he's like, yeah, why would you come on my platform and try to call me out? I've already addressed this. Like, you know.
What was his addressing of it? He just says that she was 19.
Yeah, I guess back in the day he addressed it or whatever. Yeah.
I mean, you want to play the video?
He definitely has a video. Has so there's only one the dude.
Let's see.
Bring it on. Slap it up and slip it out.
You want me to talk? If you want me to tell him, you about to tell him. You want me to tell him? So look, bro.
So pretty much.
So look, bro. I can't look. I'm a perv buster. I catch online pedophiles. What happened with you?
There is no situation.
Pause it for a second.
The one.
I do have to say, I keep forgetting that he's got a menorah around his neck, also.
Oh, nice.
Very interesting. Yeah.
Well, that's a nice touch. Wait, so Adam obviously didn't put this out on his podcast. He was recording himself.
They were doing his stream, and then he was recording his own stream at the same time.
Okay.
This guy, this was a purposeful, like, he set him up. You could tell this was a plan to set him up.
For sure.
The one where you was messing with the 16-year-old girl?
It never happened. What do you think happened? The article says I'm going 19 when I met her.
She was 19 when you met her?
Yeah. The article says it.
So, but what did you say?
I said that I spoke to her on the phone when she was 16 before I realized that she was...
That's how we catch them.
She didn't even know that she was doing something fucked up.
It don't even matter, but that's how we catch them.
You felt like you were going to come on my platform and expose me, though. Like, why?
No, it was just in the midst of the conversation.
Whenever black people say in the midst, it really does make me laugh.
It's not on him on nothing.
Yeah.
It was in the midst of the conversation.
But you came on my platform and spread lies like that?
Lies?
Lies.
Is it lies?
I mean, you could have done some research and figured out anything.
Did you talk to her when you were 16?
For like 5 minutes when I was 21. I'm 39.
You wasn't 23?
I was. I might have been 21, right?
How you don't know? How you don't know if you was 21?
It was 20 years ago.
It still happened, though, but we can't take that jacket off.
Wait, right?
We can't take that jacket off of nobody.
Right? You gotta go.
Hey man, you know, let's go. Look, yeah, yeah, season 6, nigga.
Dreidel, 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 motherfucker.
Yeah. You can say if I was a rich man, y'all. I'll tell you what, watching this again,
if what he's saying is right there, like if he is telling the truth and he's saying he talked to her for like 5 minutes one time when she was 16 and then met up with her when she was 19 and this is 20 years ago.
I mean, I get the whole grooming thing, but it's like,
nah, but that's not grooming. Grooming,
it's also, it's not grooming. Like if you talk to a chick, like you met her, let's say she's a fan of yours or whatever, when she was 16 and then like, you're like, oh, this is sort of what happened with D'Elia, right? He like talked to a girl when she was like 16 or 17. And then he was like, oh fuck. This was actually the one thing that was his saving grace was there was like a conversation with him saying, oh yeah, you're underage. I don't want to talk to an underage girl. And then I guess years later, he like kept tabs on her and like reached out to her after she turned 18 or whatever it was, which is fucking creepy, but
it's creepy.
You know, yeah,
look, I'm not
denying it. Like it's in.
Well, like, I'm not denying the creepy aspect. I guess what I don't understand, or whatever, dude, I don't fuck it. What I don't get about the whole kind of grooming charge even is like, it's a weird thing where you're like, wait, so there is an age where you're saying they're old enough to now make decisions and consent. You pick the age. If you don't do anything till after that age, I don't know. It's just a weird thing.
You're just
thing.
Asking somebody to fuck.
Well, like, if you're, like, setting someone up when they're underage, that when you're of age, we're going to have sex, it's a weird as fuck thing to do. But, like, I don't know. It's like, so what if you're just talking to them, also but you're not talking to them about sexual stuff? Well, yeah, it is. It's, the whole thing is, like, it's just a, like,
the whole thing is nasty.
Like, subject. But, like, I don't know. It's very different. If what he
said I'm saying, almost
true,
listening to that video again, or kind of watching that and hearing him, like, I heard it on, like, a phone before. But like, I don't know, like whether it's right or not, it is like the guy, again, I watch a lot of the pedophile hunter videos. I don't know who these guys are particularly, but I watch a lot of them. And the problem with them, why I don't even bring them up very much anymore to watch any of the videos, is like they're essentially going after retarded
Jay went
people.
On one time and they were outside of his place about to knock. He was like, oh,
I'm like, whoa, hey, just act like it's not happening. It's not happening. But they're just like, it's like essentially they're catching retarded people who would have, it is entrapment almost. You know what I mean? Like they're putting it out there and like, you know, a retarded person. I said that you could have been like, the person reaching out to them that said they want to fuck could have been 8 years old or 85 years old. It didn't matter. They can't believe someone's, it's finally happening. Do you know what I mean? It's like, those are the people they're catching where it's just like, I don't think they're pedophiles.
And
I
it's
think
also like when that happens, this has happened on a few of those pedophile hunter shows, right? Where it's like, it'll be like a 21 or a 20 year old guy that shows up to meet up with like a 16 year old girl, right?
Or how about this, a 16 year old or 17 year old boy? Sometimes that happens too. And it's like a 21, 22 year old guy. And I'm like, I think this is the thing they do, man.
Well, look, I'm not defending it at all, but like,
not either.
You're not really doing the like I'm catching pedophiles thing. You're setting up a 20 year old kid to talk to some 16 year old girl. You're sort of ruining this kid's life when he's just like a loser. He's got pimples on his face, and he's
just
I've seen a few of those where they're like they're autistic almost, like they're like literally borderline retarded. And he goes like, well, like this kid wasn't ever going to get some hot 16-year-old pussy. You put it there, and then like you know. And it's also
that's
just,
exactly what it's why I say it's entrapment. We start talking to him, they go, well, I'm 16. He's like, she's so pretty. Like, and they're like, do you care? I'm 16. He's like, I don't know. I mean, I guess we could be friends. You know what I mean? It's just that's how it goes.
And yeah, then and don't get wrong, like, so it's like that side of it. I go, you're not really, you're just sort of exploiting, like, really, like, you're exploiting a lot of things there. You know what I'm saying? But it's like, I don't really have any sympathy towards when they show up, it's a fucking 40 year old guy. And he thinks he's talking to a 14 year old girl. Like there's no,
they catch, catch real pieces of shit on that show. I just said the bulk of them though are catching, like they have to do so many to keep up with each other. These things, so many of them are like just a pathetic idiot. You know what I mean? But like a lot of time, you know, they definitely get people. I don't think it's,
I'm surprised more guys don't kill themselves because of those things.
Yeah, it's kind of rare, but it has happened. But it's
well, the one guy started stabbing himself.
Yeah, that was nuts. But there was the famous one where they first canceled Dateline NBC ones because the guy went back to his house and killed himself.
Yeah.
Afterwards,
is that why they stopped doing them?
Oh yeah, the Dateline NBC actual NBC ones, I believe.
Well, don't they say with the pedophile hunter now, like, don't they very often the guys get off? They don't. There's no charges. Like almost every time, there's no charges. Because these guys aren't allowed to
get arrested.
Criminal investigations. The guys from these YouTube shows.
Yeah, I'm saying they get arrested, but I mean, they're just like, now here's the thing: you've humiliated them a lot, but yeah, you've done a novice investigation of a person, saying all kinds of things you shouldn't have said or shouldn't have.
Yeah, done. Well, that's your evidence isn't going to really be taken as evidence, so they're fucking saying some stupid shit on camera, you know, and that's why when
laughing
they would do
at
it
them
on,
and shit stuff like that, like
on Dateline when they would do it in conjunction with there was like a police program, yeah. Right, there was a specific program, and then they essentially were documenting this program. It wasn't like the producers of NBC were doing an investigation, they were just the fucking cameras there, and then this, you know, this advocacy
and also
group
complete,
or whatever
complete reach out by the actual predator, like they reached out and found us immediately. It wasn't even like a I know it said I was this old but I'm this old, there was none of that. It was right to the point, like, you know, you're talking to a 13-year-old and that's who they think they're talking to, you know what I mean? It's all just it's done. Like,
yeah,
very. It's a big operation.
But as a dude, certain times you're still just like, God damn, dude, you've really fucked it up. I was watching that movie. What was the fucking movie?
Lolita.
No, on HBO, the one about the horror movie. I just talked to you the other day about it, Jay.
Barbarian,
yeah. And then the Justin Long character, he gets canceled for like raping that chick. But I remember, just like, as a dude, I don't know what it is, it just I had empathy for the character. I was like, oh, your whole life, dude, why couldn't you just not rape her? Come on, dude, not?
Couldn't this one time you just not? no, so if I said, I'm sure Adam 22's thing, I shouldn't say I'm sure, but like, I don't feel like, again, if the consistency thing is true, it the whole thing kind of relies in my mind on if he was on tour constantly fucking 16-year-olds, like it's saying on the
right
thing.
Well, then that's
if
a
that's
problem.
The thing, then that's a problem. Outside of that, I'm just kind of like, I don't know, this is something
I just don't give a shit. If 20 years ago, 22-year-old Adam 22 fucked a 16-year-old, I just don't give a shit. We watch it happen with more famous people. We brought up the Jerry Seinfeld thing, and so Adam 22 is held to this fucking hip-hop guy is held to a different standard than Jerry Seinfeld, the cleanest, most famous comedian of all time.
His face is mostly tattoo.
I think it's all creepy.
He fucks
but it's
kids.
Also, I don't think any of it's like fucking like pedophilia or predatory or any of that. I think he had some fucking.
Like, if his defense of what, literally just saying, if what he just said on camera is true, where he goes, we had a 5-minute conversation when she was 16, and then I met up with her, they fucked when he was 24 and she was 19, he said, or whatever.
He's saying like, 19.
It's if that's true, then that's not even grooming. That's not anything. You know what I mean? Like, it's not even like a 24-year-old fucking a 19-year-old isn't even like that weird of a thing. I don't know.
He didn't even have to wait that long.
Like, I just don't find that.
Some would say he waited too long.
It's not anything. I don't know.
I don't know. We'll stay tuned. I guess we'll find out what happens.
Yeah. I mean, he's gone like radio silence on social media. He posts like stories still, but he like has not been posting anything. And I liked Adam. When we met Adam, I really liked him. You know, maybe that's, you know, painting my version of it as well. Like, because he seemed like a nice enough guy and fucking.
Yeah, I don't know if I'd want to, if me and him would hang, but I thought he was like, I think he did well on the show. I thought he was good on the show. It was fun.
Yeah. I'm a fan of his porn.
I don't hate his porn just because I kind of know him. And I'm like, really, dude, this is what you do? And he's probably, in his mind, he's probably like, yeah, I'm doing this GILF porn right now. These girls are GILFs. Yeah. Let's wrap this thing up. The shindiggy up, everybody. Another fun one on the old Zoom. We're going to have a studio, in-studio show.
For Monday.
For you guys on Monday. So there'll be no show at the stand on Monday. But check us out still on gasdigital.com.
That might be launched by then.
If not, gasdigitalnetwork.com. If not, gasdigital.com. The shit's flipping over. We're churning and burning over here, everyone. Until then, peace.
You've been listening to the Legion of Skanks podcast with Big J. Okerson.
A lazy-eyed albino.
Cry for me. Come on. Cry.
I'm a shepherd of shitheads.
Luis Gomez.
Luis J. Gomez, you motherfucker.
was Jay Gomez.
If you look at me, I'm going to break your fucking jaw. I want to punch you in your fucking nose. May I'll punch up my magic in his fucking head.
And comedian Dave Smith.
Fuck you, I ain't got jokes.
I feel like if I wanted to be gay...
Fucking stick your fist up your ass. You have lube?
The Legion of Skanks podcast.
Yo, ding dong. We're done here. Time to go.